Air show attendance continues strong through the recession. Columbia owners meet in Bend for the last time before the factory closes. And Cessna promises fixes are on the way for some common Corvallis squawks. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, August 31st, 2009. I've been in Oregon this past weekend, along with Aero TV producer Laura Jobe, to get some insight into the current state of the Cessna aircraft, formerly known as Lance Air Columbia. From what I could tell from 180 miles away, the Oregon International Air Show in Hillsboro didn't miss us and had another good year despite a little rain. For the air show season as a whole, the International Council of Air Shows continues to report strong attendance gains this year, despite, or possibly as a result of, the recession. With 5 months down and two to go this season, ICAS predicts the season as a whole will see attendance gains of 20% over last year. The Brasada Ranch and Golf Club near Bend, Oregon, hosted what was billed as the Cessna 300, 350, 400 family reunion over the weekend. The Cessna Advanced Aircraft Club, or CAAC, has taken on the role of step-parent to bring together owners of planes which at various times have been called Lance Air Columbia, Columbia Aircraft, and now Cessna Corvallis. CAAC was forged under the pressure of Columbia's 2007 bankruptcy in order to provide orphaned owners a seat at the table. The roughly 70 owners who attended were surprisingly upbeat given recent events in the community. The recently padlocked Epic aircraft plant at Bend Municipal Airport still has the eviction notice posted on the front door, and Textron's move to relocate Corvallis production to Wichita made the weekend get-together bittersweet. After a welcome from Steve Masters, CAAC president, a Saturday forum was turned over to a series of Cessna product and support managers who offered updates which were incremental and carefully worded, but nevertheless well-received by attendees. Scott Howell, Cessna brand manager for propeller aircraft, ran down a list of additional benefits Cessna has brought to customers since the acquisition of Columbia and promised that R&D is continuing. He referred to Cessna's pullout from Bend as operations repositioning, easily the morning's best corporate euphemism. Rebecca Williams is Cessna's warranty manager and held the attention of attendees with information on the company's efforts to clean up the bewildering array of warranties on airframes, power plants, avionics, and other components resulting from the change in corporate ownership. She said the internal policy is fair and reasonable, and that customers can generally expect the company to honor either the original warranty or the Cessna equivalent, whichever is more generous. Masters observed that Cessna is redesigning the nose gear strut, which has proven to be a weak point in the plane's design, for more durability, lower cost, and field serviceability. He adds the company is preparing to replace the troublesome electric air conditioning units on about 30 Columbia vintage planes with an aftermarket system provided under STC by Kelly Aerospace at no cost to owners. Williams stated, and Masters confirmed, that the owners' forum, which is still at the old URL, www.lanceairpilots.org, is followed attentively by the company to allow quickly dealing with issues as they arise. You can hear my in-depth conversation with Steve Masters touching on several aspects of the corporate ownership saga in the Aero News special feature beginning tomorrow. Up next on ANN, Boeing asks South Carolina for help citing a Dreamliner plant. NATCA asks if FAA outsourcing created a danger to the public. And Myrtle Beach ponders a new aviation park. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher-performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 31st. I'm Paul Plack. Boeing has issued an official statement confirming anecdotal reports from some of its large customers for the 787 Dreamliner. The company says yes, the plane will fly this year and start reaching customers in the fourth quarter of 2010. The new schedule reflects the need to reinforce an area of the fuselage, along with the addition of several weeks of schedule margin. The company projects achieving a production rate of 10 airplanes per month by late 2013. In a bit of downside news, Boeing says it's concluded that the initial flight test airplanes will have no commercial market value beyond the development effort because of the rework. The result will be an estimated non-cash charge of $2.5 billion pre-tax dollars against third-quarter results. Boeing is at least going through the motions of setting up a second Dreamliner assembly plant, though it's not clear how much of it might be a bluff to pressure Seattle area unions. The company sent a letter to the South Carolina Secretary of Commerce last week, seeking assistance in permitting the former Vought Aircraft Industries assembly plant to manufacture the 787. The Seattle Times reports the North Charleston facility is one of four sites under consideration. Ray Stevens, the mayor of Everett, Washington, responds to the Times, quote, "You don't need to apply for permits in Everett," unquote. He said there's sufficient additional capacity there already, as well as a trained workforce, to add that second line in Washington. Some analysts, though, see the letter as a negotiating tool in Boeing's attempt to secure a no-strike contract from the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers. The National Air Traffic Controllers Association, NATCA, has a pending contract deal with the FAA for the first time in years, but the union is still out there publicly criticizing the agency after what it says was a roughly 30-minute communications outage at Oakland on Wednesday morning last week. NATCA claims a subcontractor's mistake caused the FAA telecommunications infrastructure to shut down last Wednesday morning at one of the country's largest regional air traffic control centers, leaving more than half the controllers unable to communicate with airborne aircraft or use landline telephones to communicate with other facilities. As has happened in some other outages, the union says controllers contacted surrounding FAA facilities with their personal cell phones to coordinate instructions to aircraft that were then relayed over emergency radio frequencies. The union is questioning FAA's outsourcing of the maintenance work and the agency's failure to alert controllers to the start of the maintenance work that triggered the outage. The FAA had not responded to calls from ANN for its explanation by our deadline. The city of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, has begun reviewing plans to convert parts of the former Myrtle Beach Air Force Base into an aviation park. The Myrtle Beach Regional Economic Development Corporation says it could bring thousands of jobs and millions of dollars to the local economy. The base began life as a civilian airport in 1937, but was converted to military operation in 1940 and used for coastal patrol and training during World War II. It reverted to civilian use in 1947, then back to military in 1956, and was finally turned back to civilian control permanently in 1993. Myrtle Beach International Airport assumed control of the runway, but much of the land remained undeveloped. Because of the length of the runway and the proximity to the popular tourist destination, Myrtle Beach officials say the proposed aviation park will be particularly attractive to companies looking at relocation. WMBF-TV reports construction could begin as early as next spring and could take as long as 10 years. Still ahead, Discovery docks with the ISS. The UN General Assembly brings TFRs with it to New York. And Sikorsky raises the stakes in the race to create a human-powered helicopter. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, August 31st. I'm Paul Plack. NASA reports the Space Shuttle Discovery docked with the International Space Station at 8:45 p.m. Eastern Time Saturday, delivering more than 7 tons of cargo and a new crew member to the station and its Expedition 20 crew. The crews opened hatches at 9:33 p.m. and greeted one another to begin a week's joint operations, 3 spacewalks, and the transfer of 15,000 pounds of supplies and logistics. Astronaut Nicole Stott took over flight engineer duties aboard the station. That's a job she'll keep until her return home aboard Atlantis following the STS-129 mission in November. She relieved Tom Copra, who will have completed 57 days in space when he returns to Earth aboard Discovery on September 10th. Four separate TFRs will be in place around New York City when the UN General Assembly meets next month, including one TFR lasting 2 weeks. The affected period is September 15th through October 2nd. Not only will many normal aeronautic activities be banned from a 2-nautical-mile radius surrounding the UN, but even law enforcement and air ambulance flights will have to coordinate with ATC. Get extensive details in the text version of this story, dated Saturday, at aero-news.net. The troubled labor relations between Amerijet and the International Brotherhood of Teamsters has reached a point that few do. 5 years of unsuccessful negotiations, the passage of a 30-day cooling down period ordered by the National Mediation Board, and now a strike against the airline starting last Thursday. The union says it's seeking a reversal of a unilateral 10% pay cut that was imposed on pilots by Amerijet, raises, and an end to the policy of docking workers 5 hours pay for calling in sick, and provisions for food, water, and sanitary facilities for crews on long flights throughout the Caribbean and South America. Pamela Rollins, Amerijet's senior VP of business development, commented, quote, "The demands were simply not justified in any respect, particularly given the current competitive and economic environment. While we regret IBT's decision to strike, we have prepared for this contingency," unquote. The Teamsters says the airline has been having difficulty meeting its commitments by placing freight with other companies, and that other unions and pilot groups are refusing to cross IBT's picket lines in South Florida. And finally today, it's not exactly the X Prize, but Sikorsky has increased the prize in the Igor I. Sikorsky Human-Powered Helicopter Competition more than tenfold. The company previously pledged $20,000 in prize money for the first human-powered helicopter. That prize has now been raised to $250,000. The competition was created by the American Helicopter Society International and challenges engineers to develop a human-powered helicopter that can reach an altitude of at least 10 feet during a hover lasting 60 seconds. The official world record is held by Professor Akira Naito of Nihon University in Japan, with an altitude of 0.2 meters and a flight duration of 19.46 seconds. You know, I can't help but think this is going to take more than just the right engineering. What's Lance Armstrong up to these days? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves discusses the commoditization of flight training and why shopping for instruction based solely on price is no guarantee of value. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.